My technological supervisor had to help me out this morning. So is that all right? Everybody hear me? Good. Hey, there's a lot going on. So here's what I want. Matt kind of hit it on the head earlier, and I'd already thought about this. I want everybody to breathe in really deep. Not blow it out. I had one of those weeks. All right? I had one of those weeks. But man, is it good to be here today. You know, Julie texted me and said, hey, what's your title, your message? And I actually did have a title, but I think she thought it was something, I was texting her something else, because I entitled this one, Be Thankful. So I typed back, Be Thankful, and I think she thought I was responding to something else. But that's what, so, and we're gonna look at Psalm 136, and that's where we'll spend most of our time today. But this is just a little stuff that Matt thinks about. True thankfulness. Everybody has something they're thankful for. Most of us probably have multiple things we're thankful for. How about everybody thankful for a hectic week? Everybody thankful because their check was $20 less this week? I don't know if that's the case or not. But true thankfulness depends on our outlook. How many people today consider themselves, how many of you out here today consider yourselves glass half full people? That's me, ask my wife. She can tell me we don't have enough of this, and I say it'll be okay. How many are glass half empty people? My wife, Mr. Hershberger, that shocks me. Is that right? So here's the thing. I'm a glass half full guy, and I can see the positives in many situations. Not all, but many situations. Do I love my job? No, not all the time. There are times with Coca-Cola in the business world that I just want to throw my computer out the window and drive home. It's just that way. But then I get to thinking, you know, how many people would really do anything for a job like I have? I'm out in the public. I get to deal with different people every single day, and I get to make an impact. Then that kind of hits home. How about when our kids drive us bonkers? Listen, I'm about out of that stage, although my bonkers are a little bit different than what people with 3 and 4 and 5 year olds bonkers are. Matt can relate. There are kids, they're always going to drive us bonkers. That's their job. Our job is to instruct and to teach. So, when I think about how bad my kids drive me bonkers, I think, you know, I am a blessed man to have 3 daughters that know God, love God, and are pretty good kids for the most part. What about when our roof springs a leak? Anybody get any water yesterday? I did. I tried telling Morgan, no, it's not leaking, Morgan. But I have a little spot in our roof. But here's what I'm thankful about. This spring, I had somebody come and look at it, and he said, no, we can fix it. Because I had a big leak this spring. So now it's a spot about that big, and we deal with it. It didn't drip, so life is good. We got a lot of rain yesterday. Matt said this morning, we must have needed it. I think we needed it. Okay, so I have the leak, and I said, you know, I have a house where I've raised my kids, and I have a roof over my head, and my house is not going to blow away. Amen. So I'm going to give you some staggering statistics that hopefully will make us appreciate what God has done for us before we get into the passage. These are six stats that I found, and man, they're kind of alarming when you think about them. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than 1 million people who will not survive this week. Think about that. Number two, if you have never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are more blessed than 500 million people. If you can attend an ideological meeting, without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people around the world. This one hit me hard. Sometimes we have wants and we have needs, right? If you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, roof over your head, a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of the world. Number five, if you have money in the bank, money in your wallet, and spare change in a dish, jar, or jug somewhere, you are among the top 8% of wealthy people in the world. It doesn't say $100,000 in change somewhere. It says if you have change in a jug, you're among the top 8% of people of the world. And this was the one that was most disheartening to me. If you can read, you are more educated and ahead than 2 billion people throughout the world. So that kind of put everything into perspective for me. And then at the bottom of that narrative or whatever it was I read, I don't know what you call it, I Googled it, did some research. Psalms 100, verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. So if you found yourself on 1, 2, 6 of those, enter his gates with thanksgiving, because we are blessed, guys. I know it doesn't seem like it. I know we got a lot going on. You know, there's times when I don't know where I'm going to pay to have a car fixed. I don't know how we're going to do this or how we're going to do that. We are blessed. It's not always easy. If it was easy, would we have anything to work for? But it is easy. He already did all the work. Psalm 136. Here's the neat thing, and we're going to do this proactively. This is kind of like I'm going to read part, you're going to read part. In fact, I verified this in 3 different Bibles now, so I'm assuming, man, it's in all of them, all of yours, okay? So I'm going to read the first part of verse 1, and you all are going to read the second part. And if you're not reading, here's what I want you to do. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Those 3 verses define God as persons. Okay, they define he is good. He is the God of gods. And he is the Lord of lords. As we move on in verse 4. To him alone does great wonders, who is by his understanding made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon the waters, who made the great lights, the sun to govern the day, the moon and stars to govern the night. That is the second part of God, and that's His power. That is His power. We were driving yesterday, and you know, Morgan had a pretty good quote while we were driving. She said, I guess we're just not supposed to come to Marion. That could be. But the last two times we've been in Marion, the first time we were in the middle of Walmart and we got called into the center of the store because of the tornado warning. Yesterday we go to Marion and I don't know, we're looking for something to string up Christmas stuff. My wife is like Decorators Anonymous. We ought to go there. You know, we quit doing one thing, but then we pick up three more things we're going to now decorate, which is cool. Hey, I'm blessed, and we're able to annoy my brother with all the lights we're going to put up, so life is good. But that storm that hit yesterday, and I'm just thinking about that storm, that sky was nasty. The thunder, the lightning, I mean, it was flat out nasty. Shelby was supposed to come home last night after a basketball game, and I told Chris, we were about a mile and a half outside of Marion. I said, you need to call her or text her and tell her, do not come home. I'm telling her, do not come home. It's not an option. Shelby kind of understood that, but she had something she wanted to get done last night, and the girl didn't know if she'd be able to do it any other time anyway. She ended up not coming home. And then we hear this morning Knox County was flooding and everything was flooding. And God's power sometimes overwhelms us. And all this water, it kind of overwhelms me. When my daughter's roof had a spot, it was kind of overwhelming because I'm not handy. I think I am, but I'm really not. My response to that is I'll get up there and dig out the wet insulation and it's fixed. You know, I might be able to find where it's dripping in the roof, but it's small. But his power, he created, do we understand there was nothing before he created the earth? Somebody says, well, how do you imagine? I don't know because I don't know what nothing looks like. Okay? Because I have everything I need. I don't know what nothing looks like. But he put the earth upon the water. He made the great lights, the stars. He made something else, and I don't like it. It's a four-letter word that starts with an S, and it's going on right out there. And it's snow. But my wife loves it, so we're blessed. He made the sun to govern the day. And he made the moon and the stars to govern the night. That is power. I can't understand that because I can't create anything. You know, Morgan had a project here a few weeks back, and they're doing the French Revolution. And she came home and she said, Dad, we got to make a guillotine. I said, what do you mean we got to make a guillotine? She said, I said, Morgan, you understand, I'm not a guillotine maker. I'm not real handy. Ask your mom. So then I find out she chose the guillotine over the, I don't know, however many page paper that it was. And I said, okay, well, this is God's way of telling me I got to spend some time with Morgan. Well, again, Matt's not real handy. So Matt calls his dad. He has the table saw. He has all this. And Grandpa actually loved doing this project, helping with this project. So Dad, Morgan, and Grandpa all got to spend time. And I think we got a 98% on the guillotine. It does work. So if you need, like, bananas or donuts cut in half, it'll probably do that. But it's not going to cut anything too major. But that is the power that God demonstrated. And I can't conceive it because do I fully understand just what he does? Let's move on. And you guys can stop reading. I'll just read here. 10, to him who struck the firstborn down of Egypt and brought Israel out from among them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Sound familiar? We have a song. The mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. I won't sing it. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder and brought Israel through the midst of it, but swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and killed mighty kings. Shiloh, the king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan, and gave their land as an inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. Those 10 through 22, that's God's purpose. He had a plan. You know, do you think Moses and Aaron just come up with, hey, Pharaoh, guess what, bud? If you don't let us out, there's going to be plagues hit you. They didn't make that up. That was God's plan. That was his purpose. I'm not going to lie, when I started thinking about this message and being Thanksgiving, I thought, you know, we're going to Exodus. We're going to Exodus because I'm a people person. I'm a people learner. And those people had the most reason for Thanksgiving of anybody I can think of. And I'll kind of go back, I don't know, a few messages ago, I was up here and I shared that Dylan and Isaac were driving through South Dakota and Isaac looks out the window and said, Dad, God did a great job. That wasn't what the Israelites thought when Moses was leading them out of Egypt. Now, they were enslaved for hundreds of years. And I don't know the whole math on it, but there was There was a bunch of people. I think one time I decided it was from here to Mount Gilead. That's how long the line would be of people leaving Egypt. And they had seen the plagues. They had seen the locusts, the dying of the firstborn, the water turn into blood. They'd seen it all. But they weren't affected by that. They had seen miracles, guys. But as soon as they left Egypt, and I bring Isaac up because riding with my kids when they were little, or some of your kids, you can go 5 minutes away from home and it's, what's the question? Are we there yet? Right? And that's what these Israelites, that's what they were doing. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. My feet hurt. I'm tired. Then they ran into the sea. Now that probably is a little case for alarm when you got an Egyptian army following you. So I kind of understand their questioning there. But after I had seen all those miracles, would I be surprised? And he parted the Red Sea, and then the chariots and soldiers went in. We crossed on dry ground, not muddy. Think about that. The Israelites crossed. Water had been there for who knows how long, years, hundreds of years. The water was probably there before the land. Parted the sea, and when they walked across and took their oxen and their donkeys and their carts and their families, probably, I don't know, again, I don't want to put a number on it, but from here to Mount Gilead worth of people, that mud never came up. It was dry. You don't think God had a purpose and a plan? Be thankful for every situation we're in. Some of them are uncomfortable. And you would think, dealing with these Israelites, you'd think they would have learned, man, is it hot in here? You'd think they would have learned, right? So they cross the sea, they get going again, and then they say, how much longer? How much longer? And they had a big party, did a bunch of stupid things, like kids do, like we do, like, you know, anybody does. We're people, guys. Moses, you know, comes down. Basically what happens is then the Israelites wander around for 40 years. A line of people that big for 40 years. That'd be pretty fun. I get lost every once in a while driving. Not lost. I just like to find alternative routes. And it drives my wife crazy. Well, it drives Shelby crazy the most because she is like A to B. Okay? That's what the Israelites were doing, just wandering around for 40 years. Man, if I'm 5 minutes out of my way, I know it. I know it. Why are you going this way? Because it's quicker. No, it's not. Okay. But that's what happened to the Israelites in 40 years. 40 years. But again, that was part of God's purpose and plan. Now we're going to go into 23. We'll finish this chapter. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. So God doesn't forget about us. You know, when things don't go our way, when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, God hasn't thrown us out the window. He's got us right here, right beside Him. He knows what we're going through. He knows eventually we're going to turn back to Him and He's going to pull us out of it. But we have to first do what? We have to try to fix it ourselves. Unfortunately, when if we just turn to Him at first, I think we'd save ourselves a lot of heartache. A lot of heartache. Sometimes we bring things on ourselves. I know I do. He freed us from our enemies. There is no enemy in this world that's greater than our God. I don't care what it is. It can be alcohol, gambling, money, the devil. No enemy in this world is greater than our God. Be thankful for that. He gives food to every creature. You ever wonder how that worked when it first created? I mean, because if I was Adam, how would you know what to feed these animals? You know, I struggle. I have four varieties of pets at home. Well, they're not pets, but I have sheep, rabbits, dogs, and cats. Here's what I found out. The cats will eat anything that's not tied down. They don't care. The sheep will eat basically anything until they eat so much that they get sick. But how different? What do we do? You give me a smorgasbord, I am on it. You know, Chris said, what are we doing for lunch? I said, let's go to Ponderosa. Well, that's not going to happen because Shelby loves Ponderosa. Well, she thinks she does. So we're going to wait till she's home to go to Ponderosa. Besides that, I'm not going back to Marion today. This may turn into a blizzard and I'll get stuck over there. That's not going to happen. But He gave food to every creature. Do you ever think about the food chain? Everything builds off of the animal below it. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool how there's animals that can eat plants, vegetation. Then there's other animals that can only eat proteins and meats. You ever wonder why God did that? You want to be an animal-run planet? If you have only herb eaters and plant eaters, it's going to be a pretty brown place, and there's not going to be much once that green vegetation goes away. There's nothing left. And then there's nothing left for us. God's provision is amazing. It's amazing. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Guys, here's what I want you to understand.
He is not only the God of heaven. He came and he lived on earth. And he didn't have to do that at all. He could have stayed in heaven and watched us wander around. But he didn't. He said, you know, I want to come down. I want to have a relationship with Matt. I want to have a relationship with Norman, with Tim, with Dylan, with Braden. Speaking of Braden, I haven't had my plug. I just got to give it. So everybody knows, the football team finished 8-2, made the playoffs for the first time ever. I haven't been up on stage since then, so I got to share. So we drove about three and a half hours to the playoff game. And when I looked at our stands, they were jam full. In fact, they were so full, the band had to stand the whole game. They did not have a place in the bleachers. And along both sides, people were like three deep along the fence. I'm pretty sure that this group of men and coaches brought this community together. And there was a sense of pride because we outnumbered the home team in fans. And they had been to the playoffs. This was their fourth year in a row. So kudos to the football team, but there's a lot we can learn from what transpired. If we believe in something and we work towards that same goal as Christians, are we all working towards the same goal? Sometimes. Sometimes. If we all focus and we work towards the same goal and we're thankful for every situation God puts us in, what can we do? We can do anything. But if we got fractions going this way and fractions going this way and fractions going this way and fractions only turn to the Lord when we absolutely, as a last resort, how's he going to honor that? He'll bail us out of trouble, but he's not going to be fully glorified until we focus 100% on the cross and what he did. So I will leave you with this. My Bible, again, it has, I'll call them dumb or stupid boxes for people like me. And in basketball, we're going to have a smart seat. The girl repeatedly does foolish things on the floor. They're going to come over and they're going to sit in the smart seat for a minute. And that's between myself and the head coach. That's not a seat I want to sit in very often, I can just tell you. But that's these smart boxes. These are smart boxes. And these are put in this Bible for me. Okay? If your parents raised you right, you probably were told to say thank you dozens of times a day. When the fast food server hands you your food, you say thanks. When a coworker uploads a program you're waiting for, you say thank you. When a teammate says nice shot, you say thanks. After all, it's the polite thing to do. Thanking God, however, should be more than an exercise in politeness. God knows whether your words are genuine or hollow. In order to give genuine thanks to God, you have to be aware of what he has done. Not just in your life, but in the world around you. Try to develop that kind of awareness. Keep your eyes open. You might want to keep a prayer journal to write down things in your life each day that deserve thanks. Keep your eyes open for what God has done. It's not always just about me. In fact, the world revolves a lot better when it's not about me. When I can put myself aside and do something for somebody else, there's no comparison. Be thankful for what you have, no matter what that situation is. You know, a lot of us go through things that aren't comfortable.
that aren't the way they're supposed to be. We're going through those things, and if we're thankful and we... Here's something I thought I'd never say. If we rejoice in our times of trials, man, God's going to bless that. You know, there's tons of stories in this book. Tons of stories. And I'm glad I didn't preach on Exodus, because I'd be here for like 3 days. That is my favorite story, the whole thing, from the time that Moses was delivered into the river all the way through to the end. And you could preach on it and talk on it for days, because the more you dig into it, the more information you get. Same with the Psalms. You know, when you really think about it, when you really break it down, it's going to lead you elsewhere. I wanted to be concise and stay in this passage. But if you ever need to read a story that's going to make you understand that we are not the only people in the world that have ever been through trials, great place to start Exodus. Great place to start Genesis. Adam and Eve had trials. They were on the earth for 2 minutes. Eve ate the apple. Not teasing. But trials follow us because our person takes over instead of our God taking over. Let our God have it. If you're going through something today, let our God have it. And be thankful that He cares enough to pull you through it. Because He's not going to turn His back on you. He's not going to say, no, Matt, not today. It's 4 days away from Thanksgiving, and I don't have time. He's never going to do that. Be thankful for that. You know you've preached too long when the kids are coming back. So, my challenge to us this week is, as we head into Thanksgiving, and we think about people in our lives that we're thankful for, situations in our lives that we're thankful for, I want you to really be thankful. Don't say thanks. Be thankful. With that, as we close up, the praise team will come forward and the elders will be here. And if there's something that you need to turn over to God, if there's something that you want to announce you're thankful for, we'd love to hear it. If there's something that you think you can't get through, come talk to us. I guarantee there's a situation in this book that somebody's already been sent through the same thing that you're going through, or there's somebody here in this congregation that's already been through the same thing you're going through. Funny how God puts us around people that have been through things that we've been through. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before You, and Lord, we are thankful that You love us enough that You sent Your Son down to die on that cross, and He rose again from the dead, Lord, and we're thankful that we have people here on earth that help us through situations. But Lord, ultimately, we need to turn our eyes to You and be thankful and turn everything over to You, Lord. Just bless this time as we sing an invitation. And if there's somebody out there that needs to hear more or needs to hear what the solution is, Lord, just put somebody in their path that's going to help them through that. But Lord, ultimately, we understand that we're the mouthpiece. You are the solution to every problem, Lord. And we love You, and we thank You for that. In Your name we pray. Amen. So, praise team, or are we just doing? Yep. I didn't know if the guitar man left if we were doing praise team or CD. And Les and Jess, if you'll come up too.